What is going on, Boiler Nation? It is Wednesday, December 3rd, and you're listening or watching another episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. I am your host for the evening, Evan Webb, with my good friend Aaron here. Aaron, how you doing? We got Tanner's out today, so you got the inmates are running the asylum today. So what's going on?
Inmates running the asylum. I think more of like it's bullpen day.
Yeah, there you go. I saw the Sox got signed or somebody today, but this is not a baseball podcast.
We can go into that spending. Currently payrolled at $68 million. Last I checked, LSU is paying more than that in two coaches.
Right.
So
that's our Patreon episode for the sickos who like White Sox baseball. We can do something. Oh, man. But yeah, obviously, we're going to be covering the end of the football season. Thank God we're here. After just flat out ass whooping on Friday night under the light for us at the Hoosiers, 56-3. A game I didn't get a chance to listen to you guys' episode last week, so I don't know what your predictions were. But this is about where I predicted the game.
I actually predicted 56-7.
Did you really?
Yes.
We should have tried to score, but we kicked a field goal instead for some guy. But yeah, I mean, just obviously not as bad as last year. Barely, we scored. He did. That was like I was not expecting that. I was not expecting that at all. Which, I mean, Boyle Sports kind of put it really well. It was like we didn't even earn the respect of him trying to just absolutely kick our teeth, and he just didn't care. That's just how irrelevant we are right now. He's just our rival. Just didn't care to even stick it to us.
No, I think that was more. Them taking that stance, I thought it was more of he respected Barry because he commended Barry afterwards. I don't know if you listened to Sig's press conference.
I saw a little bit of like him talking about like, you know, we'll get there, you know, we'll get better, and you know, just we kind of hit rock bottom at the same time. It kind of coincided with him coming to Indiana. So you can take it for what it's worth. Yeah.
He's definitely, I'll say Barry is respected around coach circles. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Sig's saying that too, I mean, I don't think he wanted to rub it in like what he did with Walters last year and make a statement.
So I would have thought he would have because
the Big Ten Media Day conference.
Yeah, he made the comment about the schedule, and I was like, okay, you know, he's going to want to show us or whatever. And I know, like, I mean, I can see him wanting to do that more so because I don't think really Walters did anything last year to him that would have done it outside of just like this is his first rivalry game, and you know, they're trying to get style points for the playoff and all that. But I mean, yeah, it was just like we kind of hung in there for a little bit. You know, we should have had two picks and just dropped them, and we played better than I thought. I mean, we forced them to punt a couple times. I was like, okay, we got some fight, but then just the offense couldn't do anything. Anytime we got a forward progress, like it felt like the next play was a run for a 6-yard loss or something dumb.
That O-line is bad.
Yeah, and their D-line is good. Obviously, they just don't – they're just so fundamentally sound. It really sucks for me. Like, if that team had any other jersey outside of maybe Notre Dame – I probably would actually enjoy watching them play because they just play really fun football from an offensive and defensive standpoint. But yeah, I mean, I was there. It was cold. We left in the third quarter. My wife was ready to go, even though she was happy. Obviously, her being an IU grad, I was just with white with fury. Just not at the game. I kind of accepted this probably back in September.
I was going to say, go ahead and say what you said.
Yeah, it was just the culmination. It was as it usually goes when there's a bad season, just like the culmination of all the losses kind of compounding into one final, like, okay, this is the final nail in the coffin, literally on the year. You know, the season's over after this, and there's just like the frustration of 10 straight losses, the frustration of an administration. It just feels like there's just no... I don't know where we go. I mean, the title, Tanner, title it perfectly. Where does Purdue football go from here? I have no idea. Obviously, if you're around me at the game, you've heard me saying every which word towards the athletic department just the fact that, you know, it's hard to tell because of, you know, it was Colts people were wearing coats, but it felt like there were more Ohio State fans were at the game a couple weeks ago, but the IU fans were way louder. Like when Purdue ran on the field, like you would have thought it was an away game by how many boos were raining on them. And that just pissed me off because it's just like, I mean, obviously, you know, credit to their fans for traveling. Their team is really, really good. And good teams, fans, to especially if it's a close rival game. But just the fact that, you know, they let it get to this point. I mean, and we kind of talked about in our group chat of, you know, 3 years ago to the, actually today is the 3 year anniversary of Purdue being the Big Ten championship. And we've won 7 games since then. Just, you know, you had, I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, we all predicted Brom was going to leave at some point, but just to not capitalize the momentum from a Big Ten championship appearance to what we have now is just so defeating in so many ways. It sucks. I mean, obviously, I am more of a basketball fan than a football fan, but obviously, I love, you know, football is right there underneath basketball for me. So I mean, I've gone to games since I can remember. And it just sucks because just like, it just wasn't like, it was enjoyable for a little bit more so than last year, but it's not by much. We were in more games than last year, but it's just, I don't know. It just so deflating into the point, like, I mean, getting to the apathetic point standpoint, just like, I'm never going to like not care, but I find myself checking out a lot easier with football lately. And it's, that really pisses me off.
Well, the only problem is nothing is going to change unless people stop showing up.
Yeah.
And you can blame, I'll say this, you can blame Babinski. I've been the biggest critic on this is athletic leadership, him and Grimes. Not having succession plan when you knew that he was going to leave, you then grasp at straws and hired highly on potential and let him then have no guardrails in regards to bringing
experience. That's where I think that's, I go back to, cause I was like fine with like, hey, you know, this up and coming, like I was all for it, man. I didn't know who he was at the time, but I was like, you know, hey, this could work. You know, you young guy in the way that football was in college sports were changing, like this could be a really good fit. But then you go and just like, not, I mean, obviously I'm sure there were like some discussions, but just like to just hire an unproven staff where the average age was like around our age is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Going, I mean, obviously hindsight's 2020, but at the time it seemed cool because like, oh, this is gonna be so relatable to players, blah blah blah. But like, then you're down 42-0 against Notre Dame and going, what the hell's going on?
And having guys quit and guys,
yeah, having guys quit. John Burks quit before the bucket game. Yeah, John Burks quit before the bucket game that first year. Yeah,
Morissette quitting this year, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's, I will say Barry is, I had concerns when hired because of his track record at Missouri.
Yep.
Because Dan Mullen showed this year you can win out in Vegas. And I was like, Vegas is not Columbia, Missouri, not West Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And his track record was skeptical there in regards to being 500. And I was like, we're having a guy that's 500 and then went out west to a major market now in Las Vegas and won. Like, yeah. I don't know how this is going to relate. Still TBD. I like what he says, but it's coaches speak. You can definitely tell he's getting a little antsy with Tom and the pressers. But Tom has every right to ask those questions for all fans.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the media's there to do. Like, that's why I've always kind of appreciated the Purdue media is it doesn't feel like, at least from like when I've actually paid attention, it doesn't feel like we're not just there to, they're not there just to, you know, blow smoke up the coaches, you know what, to make them feel good. Like, they're there to actually hold them accountable, which is what the media is supposed to do. Like, it's, you know, we've gotten to a kind of away from it from, you know, people like us, like, which we don't do this, but like, you know, non-journalists go into these things because they've got a press pass because they have a podcast or they have a blog or something like, and it's, you know, I mean, obviously those guys still have some really good questions, but I feel like you're getting more into like fanboy territory there versus just like some guy who went to journalism school who happens to work in this market because of whatever reason, and they've got no affiliation outside of they cover the team, but there's no, like, you know, they didn't grow up, you know, in the student section at games. Right. And like, cause there's no way I could do, I wouldn't want to be a journalist like that. Cause I just like, I like being a fan more and want to be objective like that.
There'd be way too much bias
in regards
to what you're bringing in and what you're asking.
Yeah.
But going there is like, this team, what he's assembled, and to say that he wasn't going to look at, like, oh, we're always evaluating. Are you? Yeah. I mean, that's the big question is truly, are you? Or are you, in a lot of our sense, what happened today, we'll get into, you know, National Signing Day today, but I'm tired of winning the offseason, quote-unquote winning the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing what's going on in practice. I'm tired of this. Win some games, because we're relatively in Hazel territory now. And it is hard to not be like, look at next year's schedule and say, hey, there's opportunities with especially Illinois losing all these seniors. Some coaches turn over. I think UCLA is definitely going to be better with James Madison's coach,
so too.
Chesney. I'm just like afraid that we're going to keep losing ground and continue to be the worst P4 program.
Yeah. I mean, this is, at least in Hazel, outside his first year, he won some Big Ten games. We're now on back-to-back 0-9 seasons of, you know, winless Big Ten game. I mean, Purdue's last conference game was Indiana in 23. Last road conference game was Indiana in 22. It's wild to come out of the Hazel going into the Brohm era, which obviously Brohm had his faults and everything, but like to go from that and be like, okay, we're out of the basement, like we're not like a powerhouse, but we're respectable, and you know, we won 9 games in 21, to the now to kind of where we were.
Well, especially lack of creativity on offense.
Like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Smart, and then you have this bulletin, which I need to still pull the stats for this year. I forgot to for tonight. But smart, tough, you know.
Smart, tough.
Kind of, oh, it's hard, yes. Yeah. And that team was none of that.
Yeah.
It was none of that. And I understand, like, especially Tanner's the one that beats the drum on this one of, like, oh, it has to be basketball, grass, it has to be a passing, we have to have an NFL quarterback. I don't think you need to. I think you need a freaking offensive line that wants to move the ball, like, and move the line of scrimmage. I know we can't recruit him, but we need people that can develop him. Like, yeah, Justin Keller was developed.
Yeah, and I think, and I definitely agree a lot with Tan, and I see where you're coming from too. I think it just has to be a little more creative. We've seen that. Tiller, he's in the 2000s, like, you know. We saw what didn't work with Hazel, of him trying to be like, hey, we're going to be Ohio State, you know, light. And that didn't work, because you can't beat Ohio State at their own game if you don't have the Ohio State players.
Correct.
And then obviously Brohm kind of, you know, schemed around what he had and made it fun. At least, and then again, it's always good. And I both going to say this too, but it's like, just give us something that's like fun to watch. Like, it's one thing, like, I'd be okay losing 38-35 if we're going down swinging, but it's just this like, oh, it's 3rd and 2. Here comes Singleton. We know what the whole stadium knows what's happening. He's running up the gut, and oh, he gained a yard, didn't get it. Shocker. Which
kind of, we're going to keep doing that again and again and again.
Yeah. Ted Briggs, I mean, is there any evaluation on the coaches? Like, that's where obviously I think the, you know, Purdue fan base at large is saying is, you know, obviously, mostly on the offensive side of the ball, is like, you know, what's the, you know, is going to be around? Obviously, you know, Barry's very, which, you know, that's admirable. But, you know, you're another season away from like potentially losing your job. I mean, I don't want to think of a world where Purdue fires a coach, but like if we have another like this type of year, I mean, I don't think Purdue can afford it, but it's just like, there's got to be something. We can't just roll it back out there and just hope for the best next year with the same thing with slightly better players.
Tanner did bring this up in our group text. So, Ted, to answer your question, I would say there probably was, and it probably was, well, we got to improve on X, Y, and Z, but we're going to roll it back because you had 21, you know, players signed today from high school. And if there were people that were going to be cut, they probably would have been notified to those players that they were going to be cut,
yeah,
ahead of time, and that probably would have swayed decisions,
yeah,
today. And I guarantee he didn't want to sway decisions due to the lack of talent already on this roster.
Yeah, I wonder too if maybe like they still keep him, so maybe they just move him. and bring in somebody else. I mean, you can have freaking 800 coaches now, so why not?
He was a former offensive lineman. Why not just tell him to be an assistant to the offensive line coach?
Yeah, Doug Angelotta on YouTube say, you know, most of the issues were self-inflicted. Turnovers, penalties, talent, you know, turnover penalties, talent is a problem, but there was enough for a bowl game. Players didn't execute play calling suspect, D on the field too much. I'm not sure we were a bowl team, but we should have had at least four.
There was definitely a four-win team this year.
Yeah, and you could, potentially five if you looked at the Northwestern game prior to the game. They actually turned out to be a pretty solid little team. Credit to them. But yeah, I think, yeah, the defense was on the field way too much a lot of times. I mean, there were so many times where the defense would get a stop. You know, offense would come out three and out. Defense would get a stop. Offense would sputter six plays later. Like, it was just – that was the biggest change, and that's where I worry the most is just the side of the ball. Ted Richardson, he thinks we got at least 3 years at least. We can't cycle through, which I agree, we can't. I'm just thinking, like, God forbid we go through another, you know, 0-9 Big Ten season again next year.
I think we can. It shows people are showing up. I'll be honest, they're showing up. The revenue's still coming in from TV because that's shared revenue. Yeah. Sales are still good because the games are still pretty full.
Very well attended, yeah. I mean, shout out to pretty fans, but, like, I mean, you're only in our good graces so long before we start to turn.
No.
You have us.
No, you won't. You're not going to give up your tickets. Neither will Tanner, neither will any of these others, because you're going to lose your place in line in regards to moving down, moving closer. That's not going to happen. They have you on the hook. You're line sick unker. So I don't know what to tell you guys unless you actually cancel.
Yeah.
And just do SeatGeek and just get promo codes. Or I had a lot of outreach from my colleagues at work asking if I wanted to go. And I was like, no, thank you.
I got my Ben's pretzel. It was delicious. I got one every game this year and no regrets.
Well, if that's what made you satisfied, then great. But
yeah.
I'll say this. I think there's too many holes. People say the quarterback. I don't care anymore. There's not an NFL talent quarterback on this roster. We have a hole at tight end. We have a hole
depth. A massive hole at tight end. We don't have one.
We have a hole at left tackle. We have a hole at left guard. St. John got blown off the ball a few times. Hank definitely improved, I thought, year.
He did.
Need a center. Probably need a couple more backs. Definitely need more consistent wide receivers.
Yeah. I think, we just need secondary. A lot. Yeah, because we need a whole secondary. I guess from a kind of off the cuff here, you know, we've seen a couple guys go into the portal already. Merriweather was one. A guy on playing special teams.
Sterling Smith.
Yeah. The other. I guess what guys are you hoping they can retain? Just kind of a few.
I brought this up. Hank, number one.
Yeah.
Charles Correa, you got to retain him.
He is number one, I think, on a lot of people's list.
I'm sorry. Hank's more important than Charles. we can go find a backer that goes down and tackles. We can't find offensive linemen. I would say you probably look at Hines. For secondary depth, at least for special teams.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Tuggle and Jackson, again, depth. And
Jackson was a senior.
I forget who's a senior at this point. Tuggle, for sure, I think. He got better
Harkless, a little bit. Harkless is a junior, too.
Harkless, yeah. Is Madden, is he a senior?
Nope, redshirt junior. I'm surprised he didn't jump in the portal.
Yeah, he was a disappointment this year.
Captain too.
Yeah. I'd also hope to God you can find a way to get Nunley another year. I mean, at this point, why not? Like, everybody's getting a year for something. Diego Pavia is 40 years old.
I don't think he's going to get another year.
I don't think so either. I'm just, it's wishful thinking.
I think he's got an NFL opportunity. Definitely day three pick, if not undrafted free agent, camp invite. You know, Coffee was disappointing this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many people. I mean, Smiley Bradford, you got to get Brack. as well. But I'll say this, the list is few and far between, but the thing is, you to build a program,
you can't have 80 new players.
You can't do 30.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 is already tough enough.
Yeah.
The sexy thing is talk about quarterbacks. We don't have an offensive line to protect it, so it don't matter. We don't have a defense that can go out there and play when the offense ain't scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shear's going to be a heck of a defensive coach down the road, and I know he's younger than you and I, but definitely got those traits. It's just I don't know where you're going
to get. It's tough when the defense can't generate turnovers and score. I mean, we didn't have obviously any defensive turnovers this year or defensive touchdowns this year. It just makes it a lot harder when the offense isn't moving the ball.
It's not. I want to. We can get to this comment. Ted Berkey's saying, if we boycott and don't show up, could we afford to get better? Yes. You don't know how much is sitting in those private equity coffers that the Big Ten's looking at. And that gets divvied up. That's pretty much college sports has become so much like pro sports anymore. I mean, hell, I bet this team has a higher payroll than the White Sox. I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where, as Tanner and I talked last week, and this is the big thing, I think you probably, one of the big things we talked about last week was basketball has become more irrelevant in this space with college football and how much of the playoff seeding and everything like that. Like, I think about this, if this is 10 years ago, well, not 10 years ago because the playoff system was just invented, but like BCS era, this Purdue team would be all over like national media in mm-hmm. regards to ACC Big Ten Challenge and how that was like put together.
Mm-hmm.
It's now just turned. And I know that's why the IU fans that Tanner talked to stated like, yeah, we prefer the football team over like the basketball team being good. Cause it's definitely more national presence and national media.
Oh yeah. I mean, football's king in this country for sure. Especially now, you know, you had that always that big gap at the end of November until, you know, January 1 bowls essentially. But now it's, you know, conference championship this weekend, and we roll right into the playoffs. So it's just a constant thing for the next 2 months.
No, we don't. We have a week off. Remember?
A week, yeah, for Army Navy. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the game of honor. Like, the best game of the year, I think. I think, though, tells us that we need to put more importance on leadership, having the right leadership in place, having the right decision makers in place.
Mm-hmm.
That way we're not in this situation every freaking year. Because I think the only way you change it is don't show up. And it starts hurting somewhat the bottom line where they see ticket revenue. Because that's the only thing that's going to happen. The problem is that you have so many corporate things by like tickets and they're giving away, so then stadium looks full, then they're getting, you know, concession sales, other parking sales.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad we're not looking for a coach this offseason compared to last year.
I actually wonder, I'm shocked that Tyson Helton hasn't been hired.
Yeah.
That's the one that he has track record of success now, 6 straight bowl seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this, no one's sniffing at this guy. Like what is going on?
Right.
Are we the only team sniffing at him last year?
I don't know. Yeah. Or even before Walters too.
I would say if it fails, which I have a strong feeling next year. I'm hoping it doesn't, but if it does, like we need to go call this guy again. I mean, I think Michigan State improved with Pat Fitzgerald. I know he was bad in his last year, but did take him to a Rose Bowl. I mean, Northwestern to a Rose Bowl. So,
mm-hmm. It'll be interesting fit. For Sparta, putting a lot of money into athletics, which credit to them. The guy can coach. I think he definitely kind of, once the whole NIL portal era kind of came in, he was definitely like an old man yelling at the clouds, but you'd think maybe time away, give him time to reflect, because his last 2 years were not very good.
But did you think that he also had that influence in regards to that Northwestern to get all the money from those donors? Do you think they're going to pony up?
I don't know. Sure, now they will. Obviously, they're building that massive stadium. But I think he'll be a pretty good fit there. Which, again, goes back to your point of, like, I think, you know, UCLA is going to take a step up. I think Michigan State is going to take a step up next year. Obviously, the big boys have, you know, USC just signed the number one class in the country. Like, they're not slowing down. Yeah,
Iowa has the top class, too.
I was always Iowa. Yeah, I mean, really, the next step is just beating peer brand. Minnesota's, the Northwesterns, the Rutgers, the Maryland conference.
I don't think Illinois is going to come back to Earth next year.
Yeah, I haven't looked at what they have, but obviously they lose a ton. But I think Burt's still a pretty solid coach, and they've got the resources to do something. But
yeah, they do. Let's put a bow on Saturday's game.
Anyway, well, we can obviously talk about football as we go, but actually, National Signing Day was today. Purdue had a pretty solid class. I think they signed about 20 guys. Obviously, it was headlined by the flip of Jet Goldsberry. The Purdue legacy flipped from Ole Miss to Purdue from Southern Indiana Heritage Hills, 4-star safety on Rivals. Big get. I know he was one that Purdue was after for a while, and he committed to Ole Miss, and they've been trying on him for a long time. And yeah, shout out to Lane for leaving and opening up the door. And yeah, we've got him, signed a couple of big names. We'll see. Flip from Louisville to Purdue, back to Louisville, back to Purdue. Yeah, I've got some decent tight ends, I think. It's going to be solid. I think, yeah, good pieces. Got a quarterback out of Cali. I mean, it's a solid start, definitely, for sure. I mean, you don't want to rely on freshmen when it comes to college Big Ten football, but you think some of these guys might be able to make an impact right away. But obviously, that's when you know the portal in about a month is where it's really going to be.
Yeah,
where it's really going to have to get better.
These boys got to get stronger, faster.
Yeah,
stronger,
which faster. I think they said, I think 17. I think Bears said 17 are coming in December, so that's a good start.
Well, 17 out of the 21 that we signed.
Yeah, which is a good start. I saw like Notre Dame has like it's like 23 out of 24 were coming. It's something wild. Usually saw, or it used to be like you'd see like five guys come. Now it's everybody, which, I mean, it's good for it. But yeah, obviously a disappointing season. You know, saw some improvement, but it still feels a lot like last year. So hopefully January bring some better news with the portal, since there's only one portal timeline.
Do you really want to win the offseason again? We've done this before.
I mean, we can't roll with this. I mean, you need something. You got to upgrade these positions. So I'm curious to see what, and hopefully we can keep a lot of guys, if anything, for depth. And hopefully they can get better. And also, I'll be curious to see how the staff does with developing, because I mean, we obviously didn't see with Walters from year one to year two. See if that can get a little better. No. But other than that,
I'm, as I said before, I don't want to win the offseason. I'll go win some games. So
I'm there with you.
In the words of Green Day, wake me up when September ends.
There you go. And onto that, we'll move to the hardwood. Yeah, Boilers are rolling. Since our last show, they took care of Eastern Illinois on Friday. So if those of you who did a double dip for the basketball game and football game, God bless you. I was not able to go to the basketball game, so I missed out on that. Looked like a fun one, a boring one for a little bit, and a sloppy one to start, but boys took care of business. And then Purdue was able to exercise their demons, number one ranked demons, on the road at Rutgers last night, and just kind of took it to them. Final score of 81-65. It was a lot closer than the score. It was not as close as the score made it seem. Purdue just kind of, I mean, Rutgers isn't very good. I like Pikel a lot, so it kind of sucks to see them not be very good this year. But Purdue just kind of built a lead and just kind of took the life out of them.
Well, they also exercised the demons, winning on the road for the first time since December 2022 in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
Which was, ugh. I mean, just you think about it, came number one, lost there.
Yep.
Lost to Northwestern.
Yep.
And lost to Penn State last year.
Yeah. Also lost to Rutgers at home as number one in 2023.
No, that was on the road.
No, Rutgers beat us at home because I was at this game. It was the day of the LSU bowl game. Where it was that game. Purdue was number one and Rutgers came in and beat us. Cam Spencer hit a game winning three with like 2 seconds left.
What about the one that Ron Harper Jr. hit?
He won.
Okay. I was getting my years confused. I think we might have lost Evan there real quick. Going through, Purdue is now, this is a stat I was blown away by. Purdue is 114-5 since the start of the 2017-18 season when scoring at least 80 points. That just shows Painter's philosophy in regards to when Shrewsbury joined staff back then and then now is went changed that to Sasha and also PJ. So definitely great to see that offense picked up. Braden had a big game last night, shot 50% from 3-point range. Purdue is now 16-2 when he's during his career when he makes 4 or more 3-pointers in a game. I think that's incredible. I actually was talking with one of my friends today on Mount Rushmore of Purdue basketball players. I'm ready to move him past Swanigan.
Who's this?
Brayden. I
kicked it out. My dad's.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, man. It is unreal. And this is getting into Edie territory where I'm just in awe of watching him play. Like,
we're not there yet. Like,
no, but it's, dude. I said getting okay. there just in what he does and like what he's able to do. And just the fact that he's the size that he is and is doing what he's doing and just picking apart defenses and getting young guys into falling for that pump fake into a foul every single game.
Yep.
The behind the back passes, which I get a little nervous about every single time. But hey, they work for now.
They didn't work on Friday. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, he's incredible. My dad was texting me after the Alabama game a couple weeks ago. He's like, he's the best we've had at point guard, which is saying something. My dad's seen a lot of basketball. He's special. And going back to when he committed and came in and that offseason of like, you know, we got Braden Smith. We need to get a point guard in the portal. You know, we need a starter. And then he's like, oh, he's going to start. Like, oh, man, okay. This, you know, 6 foot at best, you know, white kid from Westfield's going to be our starting point guard. Okay. And, you know, shut us up pretty quickly. He's incredible.
Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore right now?
Of Purdue basketball?
Yeah.
Man.
Edie's one. I think
three are pretty much locked in. I think you've got Rick Mount, you've got Glenn Robinson, and you've got Zach Edey. I think those are like chiseled in stone.
Edey's the best though out of all of them.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, that's where I'm at. I agree with those.
Yeah, and then four. I mean, obviously you can talk John Wooden. That was. A million years ago. Yeah.
You're looking between Joe Barry Carroll. You're looking at
Robbie Hummel.
Robbie. At Juwan. And Biggie.
Juwan, Etwan, all those guys. I mean, we've just been so fortunate in the painter.
What? Can't put Etwan in this one. Nah. You can't put Etwan.
Etwan was so damn good, dude. He was. I don't know. He was going back and just watching, like, he was so underappreciated, including by myself. Like, he was just steady. He was awesome.
He was definitely the solid player that you need. Yeah. But I mean, Juwan definitely played. He won Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And I put Biggie up there with all those double doubles.
Oh yeah.
I mean that I don't think will ever see that again. Like, Edie didn't even come close to that.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, especially we're just lucky, too, just the fact of that four spot. We're talking about, you know, a bunch of guys that we have seen play recently.
You think Troy Lewis? No. I think that you have to, I mean, Braden this year, definitely, I'll say probably is front runner for Big Ten player of the year. But it is impressive in regards to what he's continuing to do with kind of the limited talent, like limited physical attributes he has, but he's the smartest player on the court. That it's, I mean, Raf, I don't know when he's going to ever retire. I love Jason Benetti, but that's,
oh yeah,
that's bias. Yeah. But Rafi saying that, I was like, ah, it's true. He is another head. I mean, he is kind of another coach on the actually playing ball. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely going to be interesting to see kind of where this season goes. I mean, we still haven't seen the minutes log from him yet, dropping 40 minutes. I know Fox Sports put the turnover ratio, you know, assist turnovers and how that's improved. And he is probably going to catch Hurley. I in my opinion, he's going to definitely pass Cassius, I think, by the end of the
month. Oh, yeah. I think on his rate right now, it's like early January is when he would pass it.
It's just depending if he plays that Kent State game full or not.
Right.
I mean, that's truly the whole thing. But he is special. I think he is definitely, in my opinion, at that big, and he's on my Mount Rushmore now.
I mean,
and the sad thing is, are we going to think about him if Ertl comes in here and is doing everything? Because Ertl's just, I'm just blown away how fast this guy's racing. Rosen in the rankings already.
Yeah, I think what's up, what's hurting Ertl is we're going to have a lot of good guards on the team already. Whereas when Braden came in, we just didn't have it because we lost a lot with Hunter, Ivy, Sasha. So it was kind of just like
anyone with playmaking guards like him, though.
I mean, I think Antoine West is going to be incredible. I think you've got Jakari and CJ could step up.
Yeah, but they're not playmakers like what Braden is. Like that is,
I would agree. Yeah,
what Earl's profile is like the passing ability. It will. You are correct about West. I don't think Jakari has it. I think Jakari is definitely a two. Played great last night.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be tough to beat if he definitely plays like that coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Meyer has ability. I think if Meyer becomes a lockdown defender, he's definitely improved. I just see Chris Kramer, lockdown defender in him, which that would be wonderful if he ever became that. Especially the offensive repertoire he has, he would just be lethal. Mm-hmm. Concerning would be post play moving forward, but we don't have to worry about that this year because we have the best four, I think, in the country. It shows him he was definitely playing out of position last year. Coffin Wren
was an All American. That's the funny. That's just so stupid. He was an All American and not playing. Yeah, Trey is awesome. And Clough, man,
I'm so thankful he came.
Yeah, he is a lot better than what I thought. Even coming in, I have set high expectations. Obviously, we heard about the rebounding, but like he moves so much better than I thought. His passing is catching those
lobs from Braden.
That as well. Lob last time, I was like, that is 2 feet over his head. And then lo and behold, he grabs it and slams it. I was like, holy crap. I was like, that's a Jacobson lob with his 8 feet long arms. But yeah, I don't know. We're very lucky. This is a fun team.
The luxury is Jacobson doesn't have to have the stress of coming straight off of last year. He would have had the stress of last year playing the five. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And Riley Burgess can now develop and being redshirted there.
Healthy. I think it's just get healthy.
Correct. And these players are going to be around next year. I mean, Wes is going to be just thinking how luxury to have that kid four-star sitting on a prep scout team.
Yeah.
That would
who be in the offseason was described as the best on-ball defender by some people. Like, and he's just redshirting.
Yeah, it's – I'm not worried about the future. I'm more worried about of when is this team, and we'll preview then going into Saturday if you want to now, since I don't think there's really anything else to talk about on yesterday. I don't have like having the turnover margin like it was being null of 9-9. I'd like to see a bit more defensive effort. Definitely lockdown ball. I think we haven't seen that really since. I don't think we've really seen it in many games this year.
Mm-hmm. Like what worries me about this team is just, and it comes with being highly ranked, is that every single game is someone else's like biggest game of the year, and so they're come out fired up, and it's just so hard to come out fired out of a cannon every single game, every single night. And so I do worry that on like some nights, like against the Minnesota next week, who is up 6 on IU and right now 6.5 minutes to go. Yeah, interesting.
IU like 9.5 point favorites too.
Yeah, does Purdue come out flat in that? And, you know, does Minnesota – I mean, it's at home, so that's going to help. But, like, you know, on the road, we didn't really see it, thankfully. I was a little worried about we come out flat and let, you know, Rutgers hang around. But, like, we saw all the time against, like, Northwestern. Like, Northwestern hangs around. You let, you know, the emotions of the game get into it, and refs make calls that they probably shouldn't make sometimes because of the crowd and all that. But, like, you do that, you know, Adam and I don't know our schedule off top. Like at a Minnesota or at an Iowa or whatever, like a team that, you know, you should handle, but you just don't come out fired up like you should. That's where I think this team could get tripped up, because it's kind of seen that a couple times where we just let teams hang around longer than we probably should at times.
Well, I think, I don't know if we're going to have that. I mean, maybe later in the season when we have the split going between Maryland, Oregon at home, and then at Nebraska and at Iowa. Before Michigan and IU, like that's probably the spot in February that you probably look at. But I think this team knew and knows, especially for next week, like they know they have to win this game, like beat Minnesota, right? Because them splitting 1-1 December the last few years is, well, last year cost them in the Big Ten with Michigan.
Yeah.
And
this team just has so much experience with just the Big Three alone. Like, it's just hard to throw some at them that they haven't seen already. I mean, they've literally experienced probably the worst experience as a college basketball player as you could experience outside of like a season-ending injury, knock on wood, but just like a, you know, losing as a one seed to a 16, like the embarrassment that comes with to, they've been to the national championship, obviously came up short there, and they've won the Big Ten. They've, you know, been a 16 in the Big Ten. Like they've
won the Big Ten tournament.
They've been court rushed 1,000 times. So that it's just, they've just seen so much, and you just kind of hopefully rely on that for the younger guys. And yeah, it's just, they're such a fun team to watch. We're so lucky. And it's just funny going from like football to basketball, just like how much, like I said, like I'm not worried about the future at all with basketball. Like I used to, like, I care about recruiting and all that, but like I used to live and die with, you know, a guy picking Michigan State over Purdue, and I'm just like, whatever, whoever the next guy is will be fine. Like, I just get excited when we get a good kid. But I'm just like, you know, whatever, you know, I trust Paint. And obviously it helps when he's been there for 20 years. But it's just, he's just built such an awesome program and culture that it's just unlike anything we're really seeing in college basketball. We were very lucky.
We've seen it, but it's days gone by.
Yeah. Yeah, in modern college basketball, I should say, yeah.
Correct. And I will say, well, before we preview Saturday's game, major matchup.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this. What are they going to do for Painter? Can't rename Mackey. The court's already been dedicated to Caden. Yeah. He would have. I mean, what are they going to do for him?
Painter tried, I'm sure, to make a joke of like, yeah, name a freaking like janitor's closet after him or something. I don't know. Like,
well, the thing is, I know we talked earlier, like, we don't want this athletic leadership picking coaches anymore. But I don't think he's going to retire just based on the podcast. I heard in regards to him saying, like, I don't have any other hobbies. I just sit on my couch and think. And I'm like, and watch Cubs baseball. Yeah. So I'm not too worried. He might be a Jim Boeheim. I hope not.
I hope not. I don't think he's going to overstay his welcome by any means. I think when he's ready to hang it up, he'll hang it up.
I hope he hangs it up, though, with at minimum one national title, though, if not a Raptor. Yeah. All right.
I would agree.
Jumping to this weekend's game, major matchup in Mackey, and very expensive matchup in Mackey if you do want to go. I will say that the Iowa Cyclones, they're up big right now against Abilene. Is it Abilene Christian?
Yeah.
Alcorn State. Sorry, Alcorn not Abilene Christian.
Yeah. Speaking of up big, Arkansas is up 14 against Louisville right now in the start of the second half.
Cal's team's good. Cal's not a bad coach. Big game national broadcast. Iowa State's going to come in. Yep, top 10 matchup. Don't know why Andy Katz doesn't have it on his big board, probably because Fox and Big Ten media deal broadcasting the Michigan State matchup this weekend. And also the IU game after us.
Yeah.
But we are the first game on Saturday, 12 Eastern, 11 Central. I don't remember that this is when the last time they came to Mackey. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, obviously the last matchup was in 2017. I was at that game up in Milwaukee. That was a good game.
Right, but and they had that
them coming guard. To Mackey, yeah. Yeah, Monte, I have no idea.
Not Monte Morris. What was his last name with Morris, though? Played for the Nuggets. I think he might still be on the roster. that little guard that they had that was so good.
Yeah.
But they definitely come with a Naismith contender, I would say, and Joshua Jefferson. That guy is putting up the stats, kind of like Braden, averaging 17-7-5 wow. In regards to points, rebounds, and assist. It's not truly a one man show.
No, yeah, they are solid. They, obviously,
correct. They definitely run. I would say kind of eight deep. So them getting the foul trouble is going to definitely be big.
Yeah,
this weekend. But. Thoughts going into this game? I mean, this is what Painter wants in testing. I know it's
all. Yeah, I mean, it's a team that's a physical. They play physical. A lot of times they'll play 94 feet on defense. I remember they were a two seed a couple years ago in the tournament, lost to Illinois. Yep. More defensive, more than off than an offensive team. But I am blanking on their coach's name. What's his name? Blanking. He's a great coach. I was hoping he wouldn't take the Indiana job in the offseason. But he is. He's built a great program there.
I'm going to butcher his last name. TJ Otzelberger.
Otzelberger. Yes. Yeah. He is a phenomenal coach. It's going to be, you just hope the home environment kind of wills Purdue through. I think Purdue's going to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means, but you just hope. You just hope for a great game and obviously a chance for Mackey once again to be on national broadcast. Just a great day of college basketball. I'm sad I won't be there, but it should be lit, as the kids say.
you don't want to shell out $200 a ticket?
I want to. I might get scolded by my wife if I spend $200. But I'll watch it come from my home, and I'll be home alone, so that volume is going to be cranked.
It will definitely be a challenge. I think this is what you want.
Again, yeah, this is what you want.
Win opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the net rankings can go shove it in regards to Michigan. I get their in-season tournament, but if you win this game and you win it pretty, especially with playing Marquette as well, after Minnesota and playing Auburn in that stupid Indy Classic. Are you going that game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I hate that thing.
I said that Auburn game Arizona game 2 years ago was one of the most fun games I've ever been to in recent memory. So I like it.
Well, you like it's in right downtown.
It's in my backyard. Yeah.
It's easy to get to. But definitely opportunities between now and this week. Definitely Big Ten play next week. But I guess we'll go and continue the segment from football. By the way, helmet stickers, there's none this past week.
Nope. He deserved better.
I'm just going to say the fans for showing up and eating their tickets. Player of the game, spicy prediction that you have for this week.
Score prediction, I'm going to go 76-68 Boilers. Player of the game, I'm going to go Oscar Clough. I think he has a double-double, but I think he not only does awesome rebound, I think he gets a lot of guys in, like you said, with their depth, I think he gets a lot of guys in foul trouble, and kind of that's a difference maker. Spicy prediction. Man, it's hard to do with basketball because they're really good.
I got one.
I'm going to say, despite Iowa State's intense defense, Purdue has 10 or less turnovers on the game.
I like it. I'm trying to find the over-under on this game. And I'm literally seeing
I feel like basketball, you don't see it until like the day of or day before.
I'm seeing 156, but I don't think that's right. And it's saying that we're favored by 6.5.
Okay. That's so less than I thought. But
I feel like those odds would change between now and Saturday. I think we're definitely going to win by double digits.
Okay.
Like I think it's going to be probably 84, 72.
Okay.
I think it'll be that kind of game. I think we will physically overmatch them. I think Braden probably is going to play 37 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it out there in the ether. I think he has 18 assists.
Holy crap. I hope so. That'd be awesome.
I think they're going to close in on him.
Houston did.
Yep. And he is literally just going to throw the ball to TKR, Fletcher, CJ, Jakari, Oscar, Jacobson, any of these guys. And because they're going to say, go, the supporting cast, go beat us.
Yeah.
They're going to try to get the ball out of his hand, and he's going to probably find guys. So, going to close in on that all-time assist mark because he's also going to be all out on the court too to get 18 assists.
Yeah.
But I do think we're going to win by double digits, and I think it's going to be a great feather in the cap to move forward into Minnesota.
I like it.
All right. Any other closing thoughts? I do have a closing thought. I've missed this the last few weeks. Last month, a fellow Boilermaker and fellow classmate of Evan and I's, Adam Shank, won on the PGA Tour, his first win at Butterfield, Bermuda. I meant to say this. Adam, if you're listening, shout out. Love to have you back on. So definitely a long, hard 243 starts before that first win. Been meaning to recognize him on here. But great job. Secured your job. Hopefully you can donate to the athletic department.
Yeah,
as I told you when we graduated, you were always going to make more money. So I told him put 6 zeros. I wonder if he did.
There you go.
All right. Any closing thoughts from you?
Before
we pay some bills.
Thank God it's all basketball season now.
You'll say that in January.
Yeah. You go first.
All right, so tonight's episode, like always, is brought to you by Madden Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 1993, also with a cool new logo. Madden Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette, is known as the home of the original cheese stick. Whenever members of the Boiler Breakdown crew like to head in town, sit down. We like to try the pizza of the month with a nice cold beer. This pizza of the month is the Holodoid Joystick. This is straight up my alley, folks. It is their original cheese stick topped with grilled chicken, green peppers, peppadew peppers, mozzarella perlinis, and mozzarella cheese, served with your choice of dipping sauce. This is their cheese sticks turned up to 11, folks. So next time you're in town, order online, use our promo code BREAK5 to get $5 off any order of $20 or more. You could be for anything, even your drinks on there. So definitely tell them Boiler Breakdown crew sent you. Enjoy those cheese sticks. Mad Mushroom, feed your head.
Yes, sir. And thanks to the shop for sponsoring us once again, making Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started out in their garage, and they've got them 3 retail locations. So if you're coming to Indy for some Christmas shopping, make sure you stop in. They've got locations in Carmel, Broad Ripple, downtown Indy. Always running specials, always doing great things for all the different teams around the state of Indiana. But if you're shopping online, you want to get a nice little deal, go to the shopindy.com. Use promo code BREAKDOWN for free shipping.
Is that through the holidays?
Yeah, it's our code runs the duration of our podcast.
Okay. I didn't know if they were doing anything for Christmas.
They're always doing something. Like they had 30% off for Black Friday. They had like 25% off after we beat Alabama. They always do something.
Well, Tanner and I were wondering the Black Friday for last week. So,
yeah.
All right. Sounds like.
But yeah. Other than that, I appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. I appreciated the interaction. And yeah, I guess boiler up, beat the Cyclones, and yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Boiler up.